Are you getting my point? So Solomon said, even me, I tried. At the end of the day, I realized that it is dangerous to not to stick with the wife of thy youth. No, that's what he said. That's what Solomon said at the end of the day. I'm giving us an example. God wasn't angry with David. God loved him so much. At the end of the day, the guy had depleted his natural strength. There are many issues, but believe me, you know, God is not angry. God is not really like, hey, David, I will show you. You know, I warned you. Okay. No, I don't. It's not like that. It's more of, I gave you a computer. Instead of you to use a normal voltage, you use one that was too high. It's blown. That's the third one you are blowing. I'm not sending you computers again. I'm not angry, but you are wasting it. I don't know whether you are following the point I'm making. Sin was not a matter of who is happy or who is unhappy. Sin is that once there is sin, death reigns. That's what I want to understand. I'm not talking about the reign of death. This is what we mean. The natural order of things in life is that things go wrong. Do you get my point? We have to constantly put in effort to make them remain right. That is the meaning of death reigning. Where life reigns, get me? You have to consciously do something wrong for things to go wrong. Are you getting my point? Like if you go and read Isaiah chapter 65, and it said that in that time, that the one who dies early, okay? He said the one who dies early will die at the age of 100. And the one who dies before the age of 100 will be judged as having sinned, will be judged as accursed. That is, he must have done something for God to have killed him early. That's where life is reigning. The other day, after my dad passed on, people say, how old was he? I said, 74. He said, he tried. In my mind, this is death. That is in people's brain, death is ruling. For a man to die at 74 and he say he tried, what is trying it? At 74, I should have the whole year, one seminar every other weekend at the age of 74. Do you get what I'm saying? I must live over the age of 100. I know what I'm saying. The only risk that is that if all your mates just die, after some time, you're losing Nahaba. Loneliness will kill us. Like, it's not as if you are weak or tired. Just look like nobody to even talk with again. Now, I'm just explaining that this meaning of death, that when life is raining, okay, then people dying at the age of 80, you wonder that, now what are waiting to him? Do you follow my point? So a man gets up, he has a dream, he has a vision, and he starts an enterprise. And then at the end of 5 years, he says it's bankrupt. Everybody gathers and say, what happened? What happened? But you know if it is now, just say, it's a usual thing. Usually 90% is gone within 10 years. 99% is gone within 10 years. 90% goes within a year, within 5 years. And then of the remaining 10, 9 goes within the next 5 years. And it's normal. But God said that is the reign of what? Death. That is death reigning. And he said death reigned by sin. Let me say this to you again. People say that we're all born in sin. I said it's not true. That you see, we all inherited the sin of Adam. I said it's not true. That actually, look at what Paul said. He said death spread to all men. Look at verse 12. Because of what? Verse 12. Because all sinned. That was why death spread to them. I want you to understand that. There's what I call generational connection. You've heard me say that before. Before you can tap into something that was released by the acts of those before you, you will be given the opportunity to do something. Do you get my point? To tap into it. Remember Jeroboam? After God cursed Jeroboam, he said, nobody will die a decent death or have a decent burial. Apart from the young man that was sick at that point in time, that Jeroboam wanted to find out what will come of him. He said, because something good was found in him. That is, it was a young boy, but his actions were already speaking for him before the courts of heaven. Are you getting my point? So he said, because all sinned. Not as if all transgressed according to the sin of Adam. We have established that. Just because people are now doing things not according, do you understand, to divine order. If I tell you what sin means, you know, you will be afraid sometimes to step. That's why we have to understand the power of grace. So you don't walk around in sin consciousness. But as God reveals something to you, you must walk up to that level. Are you getting my point? And that's what the Spirit of Christ is actually doing, bringing us to the level of Christ in every aspect of life. Please, you must understand that point. So what am I trying to say? That you see, let me give us an example. This is very fun. This may sound, people please understand. Let us assume that poverty is in his family as a curse. Are you getting my point? And the boy is struggling, selling water because he wants to go to school. Every day he insults his seniors who did not buy water from him. Are you getting my point? God is saying that this one, you're not ready to come out of poverty. And that's what Paul was saying when he talked about the power of the gospel. That you see, some of you are entrenched in this thing for life. Except I come and preach to you, you will never come out. Are you getting my point? And listen, you know, this is the problem with this thing. Until new voices arise before the throne of God for young men and young women in life, the curses they have bought from their parents and have tapped into in their youth days, even though they stopped doing those acts, maybe they enter their late 20s, into their 30s, they stopped. But they have accumulated handwritings against them before the throne of God. Listen, when you want to preach gospel to people, it is not come to our church. All that come to our church gospel is madness. It shows the people themselves don't understand the gospel. The gospel is not about your church. It's about the person you are preaching to. That is, you are feeling sorry for him. Look, the way a lot of Nigerians walk up and down the road today, listen to me. You can go abroad all you want. You can do internet stock trading all you want. You can put your money investment all you want. The way most people go about it, there's no hope. They will be poor when they are old. Just talk to them. There's nothing they can do about it. That is why you must preach the gospel, because that's what Paul meant when he said, I want to preach the gospel to you. It is the power of God to deliver you from the problems that you are going to meet when you are old. Because without Jesus speaking on their behalf before the courts of heaven, a lot of people are struggling for nothing. I have come to understand most people, by the time they cross into the age of 30, their destiny is determined. The Bible says, overflowing with righteousness, there's nothing anybody can do. He can go back to school. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I get my point. He can say that the new method now is, God said, this one. Let me show those of you who want to know. When he's 60, this is the house he'll be living in. This is the house. Give him $1 billion today. This is the house. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's why he was eager to preach the gospel to them at Rome also. Because it is the only power. Because that kind of person, one day, he gives his life to Christ, then suddenly, that's where it is. The advocate with the Father begins to speak on his behalf. Are you getting my point? After I finish this series on radio, one of the things I'm going to start talking about is predestination. For people to understand the power of the advocacy of Jesus Christ. A man was heading for destruction. Then he gives his life to Christ. He's reconciled. Are you getting my point? Then next, because listen, that's how life is. Life is a continual court trial in heaven about your life, about your affairs. Do you understand my point? And the only guarantee of safety is the pleading of the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father. That's why you preach the gospel to people. It's not, pastor has said that before the end of the year, our church must reach 1,000. Therefore, we'll go around, praise God, praise God. So if the man gives life to Christ, doesn't come to your church, you come on, take your life price from Christ and take. If you're not coming to our church, what is it? How should I preach to you and you're not coming to my church? No, the gospel is about salvation. No, I've been telling you that salvation is not reconciliation. It's not the same as justification. Justification and reconciliation are the first step to salvation. That is why you preach reconciliation to people so that they might experience later salvation. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? Look, that's what sin does. So he said, death reigned. That I'm explaining to you the meaning of the word, the reign of death. He said, death reigned upon everyone because they sinned. Now, there's something he explained. Now, let me just jump down from the parenthesis. Okay, I said I was going to explain something to you about until Moses. The reason is that, you see, in Moses' case, what God did was to bring the laws of God. And Moses said it to them. He said, this law will be righteousness unto you if you are careful to observe to do it. Because righteousness is just like sin leads to death, all right? Righteousness is what leads to life. Do you understand my point? Death is the opposite of life. So he said that this is what's going to happen. If you observe the laws of God, then it will be righteousness unto you. Therefore, you will live. So he said, I said before you, life and death. Choose life by obeying the commandments that I said before you today, and you will live. Are you getting my point? It's as you choose, as you obey that commandment, you attain righteousness and then life comes. So he will tell them that none of this sickness will be found amongst you. He said, because I'm the Lord that healed thee. None of you will cast their young. Everyone, he said, even your cattle, if you do business, you will make money. If you till the land, he told them that, listen, this is how it's going to happen. You will till the land 6 years. In the seventh year, you don't touch it. But in the sixth year, I will give you double the normal amount of harvest. That it is obvious it's not your strength. Are you getting my point? That these guys were going to walk, I like the way King James said it, like the days of heaven upon the earth. He said, I'm taking you to a hills from which you will dig copper. He said, it's not like Egypt that you used to struggle, you know, to irrigate, to advertise, to do this. He said, you open the shop, people will be running down. It's drinking of the rains of heaven. That is, these guys were going to get results without struggling. You get my point? He said, how? Because of the power of righteousness, which comes by obedience to the law. That was why death moved back when Moses came. That was why there was an interruption to the reign of death when it was Moses' time. Are you getting my point? Now, so this is the point we're making. I hope you're getting all the things I'm explaining. So Paul was now explaining that this righteousness, of course, that's the major issue. Now, if death began by Adam, Adam opened the door. I like the words where Chambers explained it, that after Adam, because you see, like the head of the home, Adam kind of opened the door, and Satan came in and began, you see, and that's the way it works. I call it, there's something I wrote something in one book I wrote long ago, Unsearchable Riches, which I said it's not fully complete, but it's not even anywhere near coming out yet. I talk about the power of the pioneer. You know what they call the pioneer? Let me explain. You know how many years of research it took to bring out the first TV? But if you start your company today, in next month you are producing TVs. Why? Because somebody had pioneered the design of the television. You talk about the history of computers. The first computing system was the Chinese abacus. How many thousands of years ago that Chinese, they used stick and beads to count numbers? It's after that, this long story short, if you open your own computer company today, you will get engineers. At the end of 1 month, they are finished designing your own computer for you. Next month, the computers are out in the market. Thousands of years of evolution. You replicate it in 1 month. That is what I call the power of the pioneer. Once one person has done something, it makes it easier for everybody else to do it. Let me summarize it like that. So that's what happened when Adam sinned. It is not as if his sin made everybody die, but it made it easy for everybody to sin. Are you getting my point? Because if I like the way Osonjeva said it, he said that he exposed everybody to the intense temptations of Satan. Are you getting my point? That is, if he had covered everybody without going into sin himself, Satan would have found it hard to tempt his descendants. But he having opened the door, death having come in by the sin of Adam, then every one of his descendants found it very easy. One guy just vexed one day, killed his brother. He just vexed one day. That is, he just vexed. Something that he was, of course, that was the first experience. You are getting what I'm going to say? Now, this point I'm making. Paul said that when it comes to righteousness, it's the same thing. Obedience to the law of faith makes obedience to the standards of God very easy. Are you getting what I'm going to say? He said, because just as, he said, by the transgression of the one, the many died. Remember that death spread because they all sinned. He said, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Don't forget, that grace is available, but each one still has to tap it. Grace is also by faith. But having believed as a template or as a seed in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to the law of faith, all right, which is his means of righteousness with God, actually becomes easy. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Listen, the only problem, now these days I'm noticing that, the only problem people have, all right, is the kind of things they fall in love with. What I mean is that Paul will tell you that Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age. Otherwise, to build up faith in God is actually easy. You know why? Because I said before, God is a personal tutor. The problem is that people don't focus on him. Their attentions have been divided. That's why Jesus had to warn his disciples, don't worry yourself about what you will eat, what you will drink, and what you wear. He said, those are the things that the Gentiles seek. Are you getting my point? Listen. If people will focus on God, you know, many times I've had discussions with people. In fact, maybe you, Chiki, and my wife, you know, we talk about some things. You say, why can't people see this? I said, they can't see it. Because vision, It's God that gives vision. It's not as if you just had the ability to see yourself. It's because you literally committed your life to Christ first and focused on that commitment. Then God said, fine, let me begin to show you things. Then two people look at the same things. One perceives, the other guy does not perceive. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I'm explaining that the righteousness of God, the righteousness of faith, having faith and obeying the law of God is actually literally easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Is light. Believe me, Jesus said, my yoke is easy. That is, it is actually easy to obey me. God told the children of Israel at the time, he said, tell me in what manner I have wearied you. I gave as an example, you know, yes, it happened again in my house yesterday. My wife picked up the little boy who was just about 3 weeks old and, you know, was playing with him and just carried him high up into the sky near the ceiling and said, I lift you up to the Lord. And I said, is God not wonderful? I said, the way you lifted this boy up to the Lord, I said, when the Jews backslid and they were worshiping Molech, they will lift up their infants like that to Molech and throw it into the fire. I said, but God told them that, you see, what have I asked you to do that is difficult? All I said, that when you have a child, like, give me a lamb and redeem that child. And not even everyone, is when it's a male that is a firstborn, that is the only time you do it. But Molech said, bring all your sons, all of them, throw into the fire. So you want harvest, plenty harvest next year? Bring your sons and throw into the fire. When Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he is actually literally true. It's true literally, that is, there's no qualification. What he just said, that you have to take it upon you by learning of me. Are you getting my point? Satan, this word is far from God. Satan will tell you that this is very, very easy. But the bondage is putting you into. Why do you think a lot of film stars are on cocaine? You think he's ordinary eye? He's not ordinary eye. He's Satan. Bondage. You say, don't worry, I'll make you rich. He didn't tell you, I'll bind you also. But God said, Paul said like this, it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Listen, that's my problem, actually. A lot of things being taught as Christianity, really today, is not. Christianity is actually easy. Now, when I say easy, I don't mean that you will live loosely like the world. No. Let me give an example. So people are addicted to drink, you know, alcohol. I can't understand why they are. I don't know whether you get my point. For me, it is not a struggle. As a Christian, you shouldn't be giving to wine. I don't want to be given to wine. I have tasted wine. I don't like the taste of the wine that people are giving to. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Even if you give me, you cannot, it's not temptation. It's not what? It's not temptation. You know, today, in fact, maybe this will help you. Let me just share this with you. A friend of mine and I were talking today about issues of life. And it's actually in line with this issue of sin and death and all of that. Actually, something led to it. I've forgotten we're talking about witches and all of that and, you know, stuff like that. And I said, do you know how witches get people? Okay, we're talking about academics, you know, lecturer, students, you know, life, pastors, you know, many, many things. So I was saying that, he said that there was one man somewhere that was afflicted gravely. And somebody said it was because he used to demand to go to bed with students before they would pass. I said, look at people, they don't have sense. I said, if a girl whose mother is a witch, this was what I told my guy, goes home and tells the mother, see what this man is doing, you know? The woman will say, no problem, my daughter, no problem. Go to bed with him. You know, she's a witch, she's not a prophetess, you get my point. She's what? A literal witch. I don't mean the church witch, I mean a literal coven witch. Iroko tree worshipping, original, you know, Aje, you know what I mean? A real one. I said, just tell the girl, say, afterwards, don't bath, come. You come and bath into this basin for me. He will not carry the water to their shrine. That guy is dead. It's a spiritual principle. The guy is dead. Anything they desire, oh God, somebody must be somewhere rising up hot in intercession, of which God is not yet tired of that. You know, you get some kind of intercession where God don't tire to the ear. So don't come near here with that kind of talk again. So, no, we're just talking about things, talking about this and that. I said, that's what people don't understand. That's what people call enjoyment. It's opening doors to witches. And I mean it literally. You know, they told me about somebody I know, all right? Say he was having serious marriage problems. I said very soon they'll be calling him witch. I said it's not witch. It may be witch. I'm not saying it's not witch. But I said I know him. He does the thing that gives witches power over people. Men, let me tell you this. If you intend to do well in life, run from women that are not your wives. Believe what I'm saying. No matter the love and admiration they show for you, that is how devil comes as angels of light. I don't know that you are getting my point. A witch, now, I know what I'm saying, no. It's a matter of fact, though. No, let me tell you something. Recently, a friend of mine was telling me about their relation, pastor of a very huge church in a very big nation. And then one day he began to misbehave. There was now one woman that came into their church and was controlling him. When he got to that level, I said, come. Did he ever sleep with the woman? He said, we don't know. We're not sure. I said, he did. I said, that woman is not a Christian that's backsliding. She's an agent of Satan sent to destroy him. And she didn't come and say, sir, you know what we want to do now? I want to destroy you. No. He came and said, pastor, Elisa, good morning, sir. That message was very powerful. We thank God for your life. In fact, we brought an offering. Here is $1,000. He said, oh, very nice woman. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Next thing, food for pastor. You cut eye for pastor. And then one day, pastor not go home early. Instead of discussing all these matters with his wife, he decided to handle it by himself. Before he knew what was happening, he's only 15 minutes. That's what Jim Baker said. Jim Baker said it's only 15 minutes. That he swears by God, it was not an affair. It was an encounter. You know, there's a difference. No, I'm telling you what Jim Baker said. No, I didn't say, I was one that put the word encounter. But he said, like, it wasn't an affair that, he's surprised we were saying affair. No, actually, you know what happened to Jim Baker? He passed one stupid comment one day beside one pastor that was working with him. And the pastor said, you know, his wife was misbehaving, Tammy Faye. And just told, you know, there are things you don't say. You should not say it. He now told that guy jokingly that, his wife is misbehaving because he has never had an affair. How can the proper pastor say that kind of thing? A pastor supposed to have an affair. So you are to be commended for not having an affair. What is the good you have done in that a man of God, no, forget man of God, a Christian didn't have an affair? How much more man of God? What is the good? He said, you know, brethren, this is my wife. I've married her for 30 years. They will be clapping. Why? Because all the other ones are divorced after 10 years. So what is... I watched one day on TBN, my wife of 25 years, I said, I intend to marry my wife for 80 years. What's your problem with 25 years? You have a long way to go if it's competition because other people are divorced. Anyway, he talked that kind of nonsense. Not knowing that now Satan is alive. I used to tell people that even if I didn't believe in God, the thing where I don't see, I'll believe at least in the devil. Yeah, I'm telling you, the guy is alive. Going around seeking whom he will. You know what he means, seek? Let's check, is this guy devourable? Yeah, he do like this. The guy will move back. He said, good, this one is devourable. Next thing, the guy, wham, he begin work. When you do like this, you give him a slap. The guy will retreat. Wicked soul. Say, yes. You go somewhere. So, when he said that, their pastor now decided to go and arrange an affair for Jim Baker. I read in his book, I was wrong. That's the name of the book. I will prove to you that was a literal arrangement of Satan. The day the girl appeared, so the pastor said, hey, that girl I was telling you about, she has come to see you. So Jim Baker looked at him like, you decrease for head. Which kind? I beg you. He said, relax now. What is it? Just wave. She's upstairs there in that hotel. Just wave from here. You don't have to go up. So the guy said, okay, she is wave, you said. So he went and said, oh, hello, how are you? God bless you. The guy said, okay, now where you don't wave? What's the problem with just climbing upstairs? I'm telling you what really happened. I'm not adding to the story. Yoruba man said, the thing where you don't want chop, not the sniffer. Said, I don't want chop this ground, but let me check whether it's fresh. What is your own? You don't want to eat. What is this one of digging granite into your nose when you know you're not planning to eat? Every time we did house, then my wife would say that, are you not going to eat? I say, I don't want to eat. Then he will serve the food in front of you. I don't want to eat. Well, let me check that meat. That's the beginning of it. When I really don't want to eat, I'm upstairs. You don't want to eat, I have gone upstairs. Don't worry. Are you getting my point? Is that Jamaica? You want to eat? No, I don't want to eat. Okay, at least sniff I'm small. Anyway, cut it long story short. According to him, he's not sure it was more than 15 minutes. It was not an affair. Like I said, it was an encounter. But now witchcraft, forget all this one. Let me tell you the fact. Anyway, I'll come to that. The remedy for that. What he now did was, he went and went to have a bath. He said he was in the shower trying to wash away the experience. Ah, idiot. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a fleshly thing. Then the girl vanished. That means you didn't see her again. Until years later, when they began to blackmail him. Cut a long story short. The ministry collapsed. How do I know it was Satan? You know the next person the girl began to work for? The publisher of Playboy. Last time I saw her, it was on Larry King Live. And she was there with her breasts packed up like this. And telling us that she has had 2 breast jobs done. I said, look at this girl was an agent of Satan from the beginning. And talking her own. Yes, that she was a virgin, the man raped her. I said, I believe Jim Baker that he did not. I believe him. I from heaven, I believe him. That this girl was an agent of Satan. Look, when my friend told me that story, I told them simply, go and check. That guy slept with a witch. That is why she has the power of witchcraft upon his life. That is the only reason. So what could he have done? Both this man in question and Jim Baker. It is not, I don't let me say it's simple, but this was the only remedy. He should have gone home and confessed to his wife. He said, confess your sins one to another that you might be healed. People love to confess to God alone because it is simple. And unfortunately, most times that does not beget healing. They asked the Derek Prince, how far should a confession of sin go? He said, as far as the offense went. You can't offend the whole body of Christ and confess in private. No. We don't go agree. If you offend everybody, you confess to everybody. But in this particular situation, from what I was saying, let's go back to our gist. If you ask, what would the man have done? I said, it's simple. He should have walked up to his wife. Don't confess to God. Oh, so forget that one. That woman, he will have broken. That is the, I told you about the forgiveness of sin. Do you understand? There's what they call an advocate to the father who has deputy advocates. In his case, his advocate will have been his wife. Between him, his wife, and Christ Jesus, they will have cleansed thoroughly the power of that witch. I told my friend, go and tell him that unfortunately, God has time limit. It doesn't last forever. He's watching and counting the time. Year 1, year 2, year 3, 4, 5. You don't repent one day. You want to cross the road. One car will just hit you against the wall. That's the end of it. It doesn't wait forever. It doesn't wait forever. At the point I just said, this guy is not planning to repent. What's his problem? When they wanted to pull Jim Baker down, it was one small witch. A little witch was what they used. Why did I start telling the whole story? If you have this kind of understanding, are you getting my point? And you love your life, you love your ministry, you love your family. My brother, you don't need to be warned to flee all fleshly lust. That means, in short, you don't hang yourself on the roof against all flesh. You are getting what I'm trying to say here. It's not, look, because you understand the power. I'm trying to explain something. That Christians, to obey God is easy, really, if you learn of him. He will teach you the consequences of certain actions you won't even go near. Are you getting my point? That's why I just used that one to explain. That when they say that the wages of sin is death, is not a joke. It's a literal thing. That's how people, around a man makes more money. And then they suddenly can afford all his iniquity. Not knowing that is the reason why he won't make more. Are you getting my point? That's why David couldn't live long. David, with all the love that God loved him. And David said, in fact, I like the way, was it George MacDonald, one of these old men of those days that said it? So that was one thing that Solomon inherited from David and amplified. All right, let's conclude. So I was explaining that for us through the one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression will increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. I will stop at the end of 5. It says, so that as sin reigned in death, so grace will reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know what? Let me stop here. Because I wanted to link it with the next line of verse 6. He said, I wish to continue in sin that grace may abound or increase. He said, no, may it never be. But we'll continue from that one next time, all right? Let us pray.